School of the Truth. Well, I got to know some of you. I'm going to try my best to learn everyone's names. Zachary, Sam, Alex, Richard, Marvin. Oh, not bad. Okay. My name is Shepherd, okay, and I am from Piscataway, New Jersey. You probably have never heard of Piscataway before, unless you're from Piscataway or New Jersey. It's a small little town. Piscataway is actually an Indian tribe. Anyways, I think a lot of our towns in the Northeast, they're named after American Indians. So, you know, we're on this topic, the Bible, the Word of God. And I just want to follow our brother's, his speaking from last night regarding how important this matter of knowing the Word of God. And the reason is because as believers, as Christians, we're here to have what? A relationship with God, right? It's not that you get saved, regenerated, become a Christian, and that's it. And you're just a Christian or a believer in name. How sad would that be? It's like I got married, and that started a wonderful relationship, right? I have children now. There's a relationship. I'm not just a father in name, but there's a real son-father relationship. And so in the same way, hallelujah, you know, we are children of God. Amen. God is our Father. Amen. We can have a relationship with Him, amen, right? And so, but to have that kind of relationship, you need to know Him, yes, right? And so really, and I won't spend too much time on this because this will be covered later. The two main ways to know God, to have a relationship with Him, is number one, through your spirit, and through the Word. Spirit within, we all have a spirit. Amen. Actually, we have a mingled spirit. Amen. Okay? And that spirit allows us to contact God. Amen. But outside of us, we have what? We have the Word. Amen. And this is, brothers and sisters, this is such a treasure. And I hope after these 10 days, you would leave, or if you're here less, that's okay. When you leave KPCC, I hope you will leave with a fresh, renewed appreciation for what? For the Bible. Right. You all have your Bible this morning? Yeah. I hope you brought your Bible to a summer school on the Bible. Let me see your Bibles. Here, lift it up. We're going to use this morning, okay? Oh, I'll see different kinds. Very good. Some just Old Testament, New Testament, some new. Okay, very good. All right, get ready, okay? We're not going to read through the whole thing. We'll look at some verses, but we're going to have a relationship with the Bible this week, okay? Or we're going to cultivate that. Okay, so this morning we're coming to this first outline. So turn now to your booklet, to the first page. Crucial points concerning the Bible. And really, this is an introductory word. And so I just actually want to focus on just a few things, okay? So don't worry, we won't go through the entire outline in a very detailed way. Just a few things, and I hope you will really take these things away with you, okay? So these are crucial points. What does that mean? That means it's very important, crucial, critical, okay? Concerning the Bible. Okay, how about let's read Roman numeral 1 together, all together. Ready? Go. Okay, this is the first critical point. The Bible is what? It's God's personal. Personal. Hey, if you have a highlighter or a pen, just underline that. Personal. Personal letter. Or circle it. Or do something. Anyway, that's the burden. It's personal. It's a personal letter to us. Actually, you know, you could write down to me. Put that down on your outline. Okay, it's to us all together because we're here studying the Bible. But you know what? This Bible is personal to you, Alex. It's personal to me, to each and every one of us. God wants to speak to you as an individual, as a sixth graders. Where are the sixth graders? Okay. Just over here? One here? Okay. Sixth graders, yeah. How old are you? 12. Okay. Seventh graders, where are you? Okay. There you are. Eighth graders. All right. Did you know that God wants to speak to you as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, a 14-year-old? You consider the creator of this universe. How big is this universe? Anybody know? I don't know. I don't know if anybody really can know, right? You just imagine, just picture. Try to imagine how huge, how expansive this universe is. And now consider yourself and kind of put that into comparison. So the creator of this universe and you, he wants to speak to you. He wants to form a relationship with you. Amen. He's given the Bible to you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Okay. You know, a letter, maybe we're not so familiar with letters anymore. With technology today, we just send emails, right? Or you text or Snapchat, Instagram. That's how we communicate. But in the old days, people used to write letters, right? And letters are very personal. Okay, so I brought something with me today. This is, you know what this is? This is, listen, they're not love letters. Well, actually, no, I think they are because, well, the first thing is it's in Chinese. So unfortunately, I can't read it. So you need to learn how to read another language besides English. It's very important. But anyway, my point, these are letters from my grandfather to my dad, okay? So this is like from the 1970s and 80s, you know, because the To family, we originated from Taiwan. That's where I was born. And then my parents, they got married there, and then they came to this country when they were young. My mom to pursue a higher education and my dad to start a business. And so my dad left his family. Actually, all his family, they're still in Taiwan. And so when my dad left, and, you know, Taiwan is here and, you know, U.S. is, I mean, it's the other side of the world, right? So you can imagine what my grandpa felt, you know, not to lose his son, but in a sense, his son was going to the other side of the world, okay? And so what he did was he would write these letters. He would write these letters. So here, you wanna feel it? Look at this paper. It's really cool. You don't have paper like this anymore. You wanna feel it? Here, Sam, take a look at that. You guys wanna? Here. How about sisters? You guys wanna? This is a letter. Have you guys seen a letter before? Oh, of course. Yeah. So, you know, in this letter, okay, my grandpa. Of course, I can't read it, but I've been told there's a lot of feeling, a lot of sentiment, okay? My grandfather was writing to my dad about his desires, right? His outlook for him, right? He's writing words of encouragement, right? You know, it's not easy to move away from your family, to be on the other side of the world. He was actually also writing about, you know, the situation back where he was. And he was asking also about how my dad was doing, right? Actually, I picked up my, so I don't recognize a lot of the characters, but I recognize my name. And I was going through him, and I found my name. So my grandfather was asking about me. I was probably like one or two at that time. So anyways, this is my point. A letter actually means a lot, right? A letter conveys the feeling of a person, right? And so you just consider, God is full of feelings. He has a heart's desire. Did you know that? We were created for a particular reason, right? And God wants to reveal that to you. This God of the universe who's full of feelings, he wants to let you know all that is on his heart. His purpose for you. You know, actually the Bible talks about our past. It talks about where we came from, how we were born in sin, how man fell, and what the Lord did, what God did, right, to recover us, to save us. It talks about our present, how we can, what, we could enjoy Him, right, how we could live one spirit with Him. It talks about our future. This Bible has so much. You know, this right here, you can see it's smeared, right? You know why? My dad told me. Actually, so much feeling in this that when my dad used to read this, he would weep. And these are tears, you know? Have you come to the Word in that way while you're reading and you get touched and you get moved and tears start to fall? I've had this experience many, many times because the Lord is so real, right? I'll come to a particular set of verses later. But the point is, young brothers and sisters, you can have this kind of relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Through the Word. You need to come to this Word in such a way, as if you were coming to a person, right? It's not a textbook. It's not just letters for us just to know about, right? But it's coming to a real and living person, right? And so you can know God in such a way. So why don't you write down these words above personal, right? Intimate, okay? The Bible is very intimate. And it's very precious. You know, this journey that we're taking with Psalm 119, and in verse 11, it says, I have treasured up your word, right? It's so precious. The word of God is so precious. It's a treasure to us, right? We can enjoy it in such a way. Okay, and so how about we do this? Let's now turn to, if you have the Old Testament, turn to Jeremiah. I just want to finish with this point. Jeremiah 15, 16. Okay. So we're going to do this. You know, in the Old Testament, it says in Deuteronomy that the kings of Israel, before that they could assume their kingship, you know what they need to do? They needed to rewrite the Pentateuch, the law of Moses, right? So that they would know how to rule over God's people. So we're going to do a little activity this morning, okay? So I'm going to need some helpers. So Jeremiah 15, 16. So, okay, brother, Sam, can you help me? Come up here. Let's write out this verse. Okay, I'm going to write the reference. Jeremiah 15, 16. And we're going to do it phrase by phrase. Okay? Sam, write out your words were found. Okay? So, you know, actually, this is a good practice. I still do this. You know, when you have your outline, if there's a verse reference that you don't know, just write it out. You know, actually, this is a good, healthy practice and how we could enjoy God's word. Just write it out. And as you're writing it out, actually, something gets into you. Okay? So your words were found.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Your words. So that means, listen, we need to find God's word.
Amen.
Each and every day. We need to look for it. Okay, before coming to the summer school, where was your Bible? You don't need to answer. I hope it's not just sitting on your bookshelf, right? Collecting dust. Right? But look, listen, every day we need to come to the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? We need to find it. Your words were found.
Amen.
Okay, next one. Have a sister. Any sisters? Okay, come up. Okay, next phrase. Here we go. Right? And I ate them. So listen, just in this one verse, we're breaking it down to different phrases. Thank you. Your words were found, so we need to come to the word. We need to look for it and find it. And I ate them. I ate them. Did it say, and I studied it? Did I analyze it? Did I? No, it says what? I ate them. Did you know you could eat the word of God? Okay, right now in your seat, think about your favorite food. Okay? You got it? Okay. Lorena, what's your favorite food? You don't have one. What's your favorite food?
Sushi.
Me too. I like tuna. Tuna sushi. Okay, when you go to a sushi restaurant, what's your name?
Rebecca.
When you go to a sushi restaurant and the server gives you the plate of sushi, do you just sit there and study it and think about what it's made out of and analyze it and, you know, maybe look it up and, no, right? What do? You eat them, right? Me too. I pick up my chopsticks, dip it into wasabi, some soy sauce, and I put it into my mouth, right? And then what? And then you eat. Because while you're eating, what are you doing? You're enjoying. You're taking that substance into you, right? In the same way, do we approach the Bible like food? You know, like you're just reading and you're praying over it and you're taking it and it's nourishing you. It's food to you. Amen. This is what we need to do, Amen. Right? To form this relationship with God, we need to take him into us, right? All the time. This is how we approach the Bible, okay? We need to eat. Okay, another brother, can you come up? Who wants to come up? Okay, next phrase. Next line. And your word became to me. You can write that down, okay? So this is God's word, your word. Oh, by the way, I want you to write Jeremiah 15:16 down on your outline, okay? I hope this becomes one of your favorite verses. Became. Yeah, became. Here. There you go. So if you didn't start writing it, catch up. We're at, and your word became to me. Okay. Can you do me a favor? I'm going to erase that. I want you to write to me in big letters. No. Big letters. Like, yeah. No. Bigger than that. To me. Like, yeah. Like, feel free to take, yeah, to me. Yeah, big, huge. No, bigger than that. Bigger. Yeah, big, to me. Yeah. Okay, me, right here. You all see that? Okay, this is my point. Your word, God's word, thank you, became to me. To me. That means when you're reading this, it's to you. Is it just to older people?
No.
Only to Brother Timothy.
No.
You know, he's very mature. Only to the older brothers and sisters. No. To a sixth grader. To me.
Amen.
Seventh grade. Let's practice. Sixth grader, say, to me. To me. Declare, to me. Go. Sixth grade. Louder. One, two, three, go. Okay, how about 6th and 7th grade together? To me.
To me.
Amen. 8th grade.
To me.
Amen. Your word became to me. Okay? The joy and gladness of my heart. So because of time, I won't ask another person to come. But the Bible, actually, you know, when we interact with it in such a way, in a personal way, actually, it what? It becomes joy. Are you sometimes sad over something, situation that happens at school or at home? Yeah, we all get sad from time to time, but God wants to be joy to you. He wants to comfort you in that situation, in that environment. You might be a little downtrodden, but you know what? He is the joy and gladness
Amen.
To our hearts.
Amen.
This is what happens when we read the Bible in such a way, right? So isn't that wonderful? God's personal letter to us. If you don't remember anything from what I share this morning, I just want you to remember this one thing. The Bible is God's personal letter to me. God wants to speak to me. Okay? How about let's say that together? God wants to speak to me. Right, through the Word. Okay? And so I'll just finish some of these points. God tells us all the things that are related to us and profitable to us. Whatever is not related to us, He does not tell us. So sometimes we're reading the Bible, and there's a lot of different things that we know exist. For example, dinosaurs, right? We see fossils. The Bible doesn't talk, it doesn't say dinosaurs, and God created the dinosaurs. It doesn't say that, right? Why? Because it's not that important. It doesn't relate to you, right? It's like my grandpa's letter to my dad. You could only fit so much, right? My grandfather just wanted to put the most important things down. What relates to my grandfather and my dad, between the two of them, this relationship, that is what is in this letter, right? And so in the same way, your relationship between God, right? It's all found in this book, okay? The second point, so don't fall into the trap to try to come up with answers to all the questions. Just learn to say, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you consider this, like Cain's wife. Where did she come from? Do you know? Anybody know where Cain's wife comes from? I don't know. Must be from God, but it doesn't say, right? Because why? It's not that important, okay? So we shouldn't get tripped up on these kind of things. Okay, how about let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Go.
The Bible is the divine spiritual book, the book of life, teaching us spiritual lessons.
Amen. And then let's go through these points together. How about Brothers A?
In the Bible, there are many topics covered, including science, philosophy, history, literature, ethics, and law. But the Bible is not a book of these things. The Bible is a book of life.
Amen. The Bible is a book of life. So in the Bible, actually, you'll find science. We won't go through these verses, but if you have time in your small group this afternoon, you could look up these verses. Did you know the Bible tells us or told us long, long time ago that the earth was round? Did you know that? Okay, you could look it up later. You know, if they would just read the Bible hundreds of years ago, it would have saved a lot of time and grief, you know? It's there. Anyway, you just have to look into it yourself. But still, that is not the most important thing. Okay, there's history in the Bible, okay? But the Bible is not a book of history. Like the reference here in Matthew, it gives you the genealogy of Christ Jesus. There's a lot of history. You can study the history of the nation of Israel. So many things, right? But still, it's not a book of history. Right. There are prophecies. And we appreciate very much the prophecies because it tells us what our future looks like. But still, the emphasis is not just prophecy. What is it? What is it? What is the Bible? It is a book of life.
Amen.
The Bible is a book of life.
Amen.
The Lord in John 6 says that His words are spirit and life. He wants to, what? Infuse us with Himself as life. And He does that by what? Through the Word. Okay? When you mix the Word of God with the Spirit, it becomes life to us.
Amen.
It enlivens us. We just covered that word this morning, right? Enlivens, right? Did you know that the Word can enliven you? You might feel dead. You might feel dry. Oh, but the Bible comes as life, right, to us. It's wonderful. Point B, sisters, go ahead. Right. And so these are just two examples, some verses here. A lot of times we think that if we come to one portion of the word and you look at another portion, for example, in 1 Kings and then in Acts, talks about the years that the children of Israel were in captivity. And you might think, oh, wait, the numbers don't match up. But actually, there is a deep spiritual lesson behind this study. And, you know, I won't get into it. You can try to get into it in your small groups. But it's just wonderful that the Bible could have something like that to teach us, right? The lessons that we need to know. Okay, now I'm going to move a little faster. So Roman numeral 3, how about we read that all together? The four are Christ, the Spirit, life, and the church. Right, so what is the Bible composed of? Four things. Let's declare it all together. Christ, Spirit, life, and the church. Right, and actually all these are topics that we covered in the summer school, the truth, right? So you could say, actually, because last year we covered on the topic of the church, right? And so in essence, what we're doing this year is we're trying to cover all the summer schools in 1 week. We'll do our best. But this is what the Bible is all about. Not history, not science, not just prophecies, but what? Christ, Spirit, life, amen, and the church. Amen. Amen. Okay, point four. Let's read that together.
The Bible changes people inwardly. No other book has such a positive effect on people, or is able to save people from their weaknesses, as the Bible.
Amen. The Bible has the ability to what? To touch us. To change us inwardly, not for some sort of outward improvement, but there's actually a metabolic change that happens, okay? And so, because the Bible is a book of life, right? And so when we enjoy it, this life comes into us, and it begins to operate. It begins to change in a very positive sense. And so, really, our burden is in point B. Listen, for the Bible to have such a positive effect on you all, on the young people, we should, what? We need to develop a personal relationship and contact the Lord through the Word.
Amen.
I hope over the course of these next 10 days, you can develop a personal relationship with the Bible. So that when we're reading it, you really have the sense that you're meeting the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to us. And we'll get into all the positive effects of the Word. But this is so true in my experience. Ever since, I kind of shared last night that I've been coming to summer school for a long time. You know, since I was in seventh grade, and, you know, in my eighth grade, we covered this topic, the Bible, right? And it's just growing up, reading the Bible. Of course, you don't understand everything, and that's okay. But when you're getting into the Word, you really get the sense that, wow, God's presence is there, right? And he has a lot on his heart. And, you know, you can't get to know somebody in just a day, right? Or two. Or just a week, right? Actually, it's a lifelong matter of really getting to know somebody. And this is my testimony. It's just my life. Since, you know, I got saved, I've been in a church life, coming to meetings, and then just personally, in reading the Word, God's just revealing more of himself to me, right? And we want all of you to have that personal relationship. So maybe I'll just share something real brief, just kind of as an example. Recently, I've been touched with this. Actually, we covered this. Do you all know that 10 days ago, we had this North America college training. You hear about that? Okay, it was wonderful. Yeah, it was wonderful. One day you're going to be there. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we know it. But during that time, we were talking about the Jubilee, and we were covering Luke 15, okay? How many of you are familiar with Luke 15? Do you know the story of the prodigal son? Okay, some of you. Oh, most of you don't. Oh, I'm going to share. Can I share this with you? This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Because every time I come to this chapter, the Lord just speaks to me and shepherds me. And anyways, it's wonderful. Okay, in Luke 15, it talks about, if you have your Bible, please turn to it. There's three stories there, but I just want to focus on the story of the prodigal son. And there, you know, this son, he was given his father's inheritance. And what did he do? He went away. This is Luke 15, 11, okay, and 32. And so I'll be quick. This son took his father's inheritance, went away to a distant country, and then squandered, meaning that he lost it all, okay? And then in his sad situation, what was he doing? He was like living with the pigs and eating the pig food, carob pods at that time, okay? And he has a rich father. And so one day, he came to himself. He's like, what am I doing here? Living with the pigs, eating pig food, when I have a rich father. What am I doing? So what does he do? He rose up and he started what? His journey back to the father. Okay, and so this is my point. So in verse 20, listen to this. And he rose up and came to his own father. Okay. Are you paying attention? But while he was still a long way off. Okay, I need help here. Okay, one of you brothers. Can you help me? Zach. Okay. How about Zach? You go to that where Toby is. Okay, by that door. Yeah, let's do that. Zach, go outside. Okay, so Zach is my prodigal son. And he went away from me. Okay, and he lost the inheritance that I gave him. Okay, and then while he was long way off, he started coming. Okay, Zach, come a little closer. Okay, listen. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. There he is. No, stop right there. There he is. Okay, you know, what does this imply? That means the father was outside, probably every day. Kind of looking, oh, where is Zach? Where is he? I love him. I want him to come back to me. Okay, while he was a long way off, his father saw him. Oh, see, here he is. And he was what? Moved with compassion. The father was full of compassion. And what did he do? He ran. Listen, he didn't wait for the son to come to him. The father ran. And did what? Fell on his neck and kissed him. I won't kiss you. Here, you can sit down. And what? And kissed him affectionately. You know what this story shows us? This is your relationship with God. Has this ever been your experience? You tell the Lord you love him. Oh, and it's so good. You're in that enjoyment. And then, not even a day later, maybe a few hours later, you feel like you went away from him, right? You just sense in your spirit, oh, I'm just so distant. But you know what? We have a loving father.
Amen.
He's always looking and looking, waiting for what? For the moment that you come to yourself and you're like, what am I doing here eating the pig's food? I'm going to go back to my father. And every time, listen, every time. Okay, this is what I want to share with you is because I was touched in a fresh way. Okay, and this ties with this last point, and then I'll finish and then stop. You need to look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Okay, so you can look at it in your Bible, but I'll just read this to you, okay? Lamentations 3, 22, 23. It is Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed. Listen. Are you listening? For His compassions do not fail. His compassions do not fail. And rather what? They are new every morning. So, my point is, you need to, well, at least for me, this was just so new and so fresh to tie these two portions of the word together. Because here in Luke, it says the father was filled with compassion, right? And so he ran to his son. But you know, I thought about this. It's like, how much compassion does God really have, right? What does God's compassion even look like or feel like? You know, listen, if you mess up with your parents one time, two times, you know, they'll forgive you, right? Right, Sam? But let's say you mess up every single time, like over and over and over and over again. Maybe eventually dad's compassion might run out, right? Well, but if he has the compassion of God, he won't. It won't. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, imagine your friend, right? You and your friend, and you do something that irks them, and you do it again and tell you stop, and you try to, and you just, and eventually, I think your friend will be like, what is wrong with you, right? But listen, our relationship with God, His compassions do not fail. Amen. So this word just spoke to me. Why? Because I fail all the time. And I need God's new compassions every morning. Amen. And so this is my interaction with the word. I come to the word and I realize, wow, God, your compassion is amazing. Thank you for loving me in such a way. Like, listen, every single time, He's going to be that father running to me. Have you seen this? This is your relationship with God.
Amen.
You know, if you really see this, then listen, oh, you will love the Lord so much.
Amen.
You will thank Him. You will rejoice. You will be so happy and jubilant.
Amen.
Because we have a loving Father.
Amen.
No matter what happens, right? We confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. And we can return to Him. Our fellowship can be restored. The distance between you and a God can become zero. Isn't that awesome? But to know that, listen, and it's just not enough that you're sitting here and you're listening, right? And I, you know, I'm just the first brother. There's going to be many, right, that are going to share from the word. And you might be touched with something that is shared. But you yourself, you need to come to this word.
Amen.
And you need to pray over it. You need to consider it, right? So that what? So that it's not just somebody else telling you about what the Bible says. But it's God speaking to you. All we're trying to do is just opening it, you know, share a little bit what we enjoy, what touched us. But you need to come to the word yourself in a personal way so that you yourself, you realize, oh, man, I'm this prodigal son, but I have this wonderful, loving father, right? This is our burden for you all, okay? The Bible has passed the test of time. There's going to be a message on this, and it's going to be really good, okay? And then and with the last point, we need to read the whole Bible.
Amen.
Every verse in the Bible needs the whole Bible. Amen. To interpret it and understand it in full.
Amen.
And I think that little demonstration hopefully showed you that, oh, this book is just so rich, right? I don't know how many times I've read Luke 15, but I've never made that connection. And it just, when I saw that, I was just, it just became a new chapter to me, okay? And it could be such to you as well. Amen. So, do you love the Bible?
Amen.
A little bit more?
Amen.
I really believe, I have full faith that you come to the Word in such a way, you know, with your spirit exercise, your heart turn, and just not, you're not just trying to understand, but you're trying to meet God, right? You could pray these prayers, Lord, I want to come to you. Right before you read the Bible, it's a good practice. Lord, before I even open this book, I want to touch you, right? I want to meet you. I just want to spend time with you. It's just like you're spending time with a good friend, right? You just enjoy the presence, right, of that person. So you could pray these prayers. And as you're reading it, you just pray, Lord, you're here. Amen. And you just pray over the words. And the book, and this book, this Bible, will be a new book to you. Guaranteed. Okay, so we'll stop here. How about just, you know, we like to sometimes at the end of messages respond in prayer. So you could just pray with the person next to you over anything that touched you this morning, and then the brothers can give us more direction on what to do. Amen.